21.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. We start things out. I want to get to some emails, but before we do that, I really think that there's a story that people need to hear about the airports of America. And over time, we keep hearing more and more stories like this, so it's important to bring people's attention to it. In case, you know, you're new to the program, in case you're new to the ideas of freedom, liberty, you need to hear these stories. Because if you aren't traveling internationally to countries that the government people might have questions about, then you may not really realize what's going on right here in the so-called land of the free. You may be completely oblivious to it, because these kinds of stories, they just don't get big coverage. You know, it's for, to me, this is big news, but I guess to the mainstream media, it's no big deal.
For most of Americans, it's just business as usual, and, you know, forget about it.
So the story is from alternate.org, and it is written by Emily Feeder, who went on, a vacation to Syria, of all places. Now, it shouldn't matter where you go. I mean, especially if you're a so-called American citizen, right, which she is. They should treat you with some respect when you come back, right? I mean, you're coming back to your country, you're a tax-paying citizen or whatever. Shouldn't they at least say, hey, welcome back, we're glad to have you?
One would think.
But that's just not the way things are these days in the post-9/11 America, where everyone is under suspicion, especially people coming back from a country like Syria. Now, of course, if you were coming back from, if you were wanting to be a terrorist, then you might want to come back from a different country in order to kind of cover your trail a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. A terrorist, somebody who actually was a terrorist, isn't going to be coming back from Syria. They're going to make a stop off in Frankfurt, stay there for a week, and then come on.
But let's talk about how this young lady, presumably young lady, was treated. She says, I arrived at JFK Airport 2 weeks ago after a short vacation to Syria and presented my American passport for reentry to the United States. Now, what's funny about all this is these stories usually catch the people that are the victims here off guard, too. Like, they had no idea it was this bad. They had no idea that this stuff was going on. And they certainly didn't think it would happen to them. Anyway, after 28 hours of traveling, I'd settled into a hazy awareness that this was the last and most familiar leg of a long journey. I exchanged friendly words with the Homeland Security official who was recording my name in his computer. He scrolled through my passport, and when his thumb rested on my Syrian visa, he paused. Jerking toward the door of his glass-enclosed booth, he slid my passport into a dingy green plastic folder and walked down the hallway, motioning for me to follow with a flick of his wrist. Where was he taking me? I asked him. You'll find out, he said. We got to an enclosed holding area in the arrivals section of the airport. He shoved the folder into my hand and gestured toward four sets of Homeland Security guards sitting at large desks. Attached to each desk were metal poles capped with red, white, and blue siren lights. I approached two guards sitting at, I approached two guards carrying weapons and wearing uniforms similar to New York City police officers, but they shook
which
their...
Which means that they look like, they look like stormtroopers of death. I mean, they're completely blacked out. Is that what you're talking
I
about?
I don't know.
Okay, well, because
not all the police officers in New York City are stormtroopers.
When I was in New York City, I saw helmets, you know, wraparound glasses.
We were in the financial district.
What looks like, submachine guns strapped over their shoulders. I mean, these guys were going to war.
But those particular...
They weren't what I would have called police officers. They were what I would have called soldiers.
She says those two guards that were carrying the weapons and looking like the New York City police officers shook their heads, laughed, and said, over there, pointing into the direction of four overflowing holding pens. I approached different desks until I found an official who nodded and shoved my green folder in a crowded metal file holder. When I asked him why I was there, he glared at me, took a sip from his water bottle, bit into a sandwich, and began to dig between his molars with his forefinger. I found a seat next to a man who looked about my age, in his late 20s, and waited. Omar, now that's not his real name, finished his fifth year in biomedical engineering at City College in June. He had just arrived from Beirut, where he visited his family and was waiting to go home to the apartment that he shared with his brother in Harlem. Despite his near-perfect English and designer jeans, Omar looked scared. He rubbed his hands and rocked softly in his seat. He had been waiting for hours already, and as he pointed out, a number of people, some sick, elderly, pregnant, or holding sobbing babies, they'd been waiting for hours too. There were approximately 70 people detained in our cordoned off section. All were Arab. Thought they weren't singling people out. I guess I misunderstood.
Well, it would seem like Arab people would be coming from Arab countries, visiting family and friends and that kind of thing.
And almost all had arrived from Dubai, Amman, or Damascus. Many were U.S. citizens. We were in the front row, sitting a few feet from two guards' desks. They sneered at each bewildered arrival, told jokes in whispers, swiveled in their office chairs, and greeted passing guards who stopped to talk, guards who had a habit of looping their fingers into their holsters. One asked his friend how many nationalities were represented in the room. About 20. Some of everything today. No one who had been detained knew precisely why they were there. A few people were led into private rooms, others were questioned out in the open at desks a few feet from the crowd and then allowed to pass through customs. Some were sent to another section of the holding area with large computer screens and cameras and then brought back. The uninformed consensus among the detainees was that some people would be fingerprinted, have their irises scanned, and be sent back to the countries from which they disembarked. Regardless of citizenship status, others would be fingerprinted and allowed to stay.
Regardless of whether or not they're American citizens? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, as she said, it's the uninformed consensus among the detainees. They couldn't get any information from the bureaucrats, so you can just speculate. And that the unlucky ones would be detained indefinitely and moved to a more permanent facility. There was one British tourist in the group. Paul, also not his real name, was traveling with three friends who had passed through customs soon after their plane landed and were waiting for him on the other side of the metal barrier.
A long time, apparently.
Yep, he suspected he'd been detained because of his dark skin. When he asked if he could go to the bathroom, one of the guards said, "I wouldn't." "What if someone has to?" I asked. "They'll just have to hold it," the guard responded with a smile. Paul began to cry. I watched as he, over the course of 4 hours, went from feeling exuberant about his trip to New York to despising the entire country. "So I speak the Queen's English," he told me. "I'm third-generation British. I came to America because I've always wanted to come here, and now they've got me so scared that all I want to do is go home. We're paying for your stupid war anyway." To be powerless...
How was he paying?
I don't know. Taxes, I guess? I don't know. Anyway, to be powerless and mocked at the same time makes one feel ashamed, which leads quickly to rage. Within a few hours of my arrival, I saw at least 10 people denied the right to use the bathroom or to buy food and water. I watched my traveling companion duck under a barrier, run to the bathroom, and slip back into the holding section, which, of course, someone of another ethnicity in a state of panic would be very reluctant to do. The United States is good at naming enemies, but apparently we're even better at making them, especially of individuals. I don't know if it's worse for national security and more embarrassing for Americans that this is the first experience tourists have of our country, or that some U.S. citizens get treated this way upon entering or re-entering their own country.
Well, we've seen that when security measures are implemented or they get stricter, we've seen tourism drop off. Especially,
yeah, significantly.
You know, since 9/11, I forget the percentages, but it's
like
significant.
20%.
Yeah. Business travel's way down, and regular tourism's down as well.
My number's old, but it was like 20% foreign. And I've heard numbers as high as half of them say they're just never coming back.
Who wants to go through that crap? You know. I mean, who wants to go through this to attend a business meeting? Who wants to go through this just to go to Disney World or something like that? Have your relatives come visit you in your country.
Yes, so they can be treated like this when they come back, apparently.
Oh, that's a good point. The guard who had been picking his molars for hours quietly mispronounced the names of each people or of people whose turn it was to be questioned, muttering each surname three times and then moving on. When he called Omar from City College to his desk, I moved closer to hear the interview. "Where did you go?" the officer asked. "What is your address in the United States? Is your brother here illegally? Do you support Hezbollah? What do you think of Hezbollah in general? How do you pay for your life here? How many people live with you? Are you sure it's just you and your brother? Who are your friends?"
Who are your friends?
Omar answered respectfully and emphatically. He was then asked to wait by the side of the desk from which he was ushered toward one of the rooms. After 4 hours, I finally demanded to speak to the guard's supervisor, and he was called down, believe it or not. I asked if the detainees could file a formal complaint, because, you know, that's going to do something, right?
Yeah, formal complaint will do it.
All right, we'll tell you what happens here in a few moments. As though it weren't bad enough, it's just amazing that this is going on right here under everybody's noses, and most people, I think, are completely unaware of this. And if they heard about it going on, they'd say, well, you're coming from those dirty countries. That's all right. You can treat them like that. More coming up. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you in the game? Your business has a website, but you could be losing a fortune and lost sales. Don't believe me? Try this test. Search for your product or service on Google, MSN, or Yahoo. If your website isn't listed in the top 10, you're not even on the field. People are searching for your product every day. Making sure they find your website before they find your competitor requires the skill of professionals like SEOP. If you've talked to so-called internet experts and you're skeptical, find out how businesses from Fortune 100s to startups drive more internet sales and higher profits thanks to SEOP. SEOP will drive customers to your website at a cost you can afford and get your website ranked in the top 10 on search engines guaranteed. Or they'll keep working until you get there at no cost.
Call SEOP now to learn more. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TiboTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TiboTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TiboTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TiboTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TiboTech.com. That's TiboTech.com.
Collectors, outdoor enthusiasts, survivalists. The Army Navy store from your memory as a child is just that, a memory. But there is still one place to find everything from gas masks to ammo cans and find it cheap. MaineMilitary.com. Get hard to find objects like real wool blankets for under 20 bucks, canteens for just $2, or trioxane fuel for just $1 a box. M-A-I-N-E Military.com with free shipping on items over $150, not including heavy items. Find surplus items for cheap now, like 30 caliber cleaning kit for just $2.99 a piece, or a dozen for $30. Flare pistols are only $25. Want to add a brand new Israeli gas mask to your collection? Kids and adult sizes are just $20. Get G3 mags for just $2, or a military fuel can for only $16. Add the siphon holes for another $7.99. Find it all online at MaineMilitary.com. With shipping throughout the world, check out MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179. Call today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us, including archives. You go and grab them up right there from the front page of the site. Easy to download and completely free at freetalklive.com. freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. So go and get more information over at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. As we continue this story, your calls, by the way, if you make them, are the point of the program. In the meantime, we fill the air with stories you just don't see in the mainstream media. Stories that are, and sometimes mainstream media, but very rarely, but stories that are really important that people should hear about, like this one. I actually had it last night, but we got so distracted by the conversation. But it was so important, I wanted to get out there. It's about a woman, so-called American citizen, who's coming back from vacation to Syria. And it doesn't really indicate if...
From Syria?
Yes.
Vacation from Syria.
Correct. Well, yes.
Yeah, she vacated to Syria and then was returning.
Correct. Anyway, it doesn't actually identify whether or not she is a brown person or if she was just coming back from Syria. But presumably, maybe she is a little tinged. Well, I don't know.
Her last name doesn't give an idiot.
Feder, F-E-D-E-R, Feder. Yeah, so hard to say. But either way, most of the people that were being detained at the airport were folks of a Arabic descent. And there were, as she describes it, over 70 people in this detention facility at the airport, all of these people trying to get into the United States, and they were made to wait for hours upon hours, some probably being turned around, some probably taken into further detention, and some being let through eventually. But she sat there and watched as people were told that they can't go to the bathroom. Now, that's like one of the most basic human necessities, food, and being able to go number one and number two.
I totally believe it. This is the kind of thing they did during in prison. I totally believe it. That's the kind of thing they did to us.
Yeah, but except you were actually, you know, convicted. I know that you didn't do what you were convicted for, but at least there was some sort of process. I mean, there was some semblance of a process before.
Right, I was a convicted felon opposed to, you know, these people.
Somebody walking off a plane. Yeah, trying to go home or trying to come over here for a visit or a business trip or whatever.
Traveling, you know, as citizens of the land of the free.
Yeah, this is how people are being treated right here in America, and you need to know about it. Here's the rest of the story. So she's been in this holding pen, for lack of a better term, for 4 hours when she finally demanded to speak to the guard supervisor and he was called down. She says, I asked if the detainees could file a formal complaint. He said there were complaint forms, which in English and Spanish direct one to the Department of Homeland Security's website, where one must enter extensive personal information in order to file a trip summary. So stop for one moment here.
The complaint is a trip summary?
I don't know. You can go look at their website and see exactly what that even means. I don't know. They want to probably know about your trip in order for you to register your complaint, and you have to give them all kinds of details about yourself. So how are you supposed to read the complaint if you're coming from Syria? You know, or you're coming from some place.
Well, it's obviously set up so that Americans are more able to, you know, file than other people.
Right. So clearly it's not an easy process. And if you don't have access to the Internet, I guess you just can't file complaints with the Department of Homeland Security because you have to fill out their web form. So, the 50% of the people in this country that don't generally access the Internet, 25% don't ever get on, like 50% barely ever get on. Those people are out in the cold. You got a bad time coming back in. Well, you'll just have to go to the library or, you know, figure out how to get yourself
online.
Good
luck to you.
Well, anyway, the Department of initially, he refused to hand out the forms and also refused to give his telephone number. The Department of Homeland Security is understaffed, underfunded, and I have men who are doing 14-hour days, as though we're supposed to feel bad.
Yeah, I feel bad for your stormtroopers that are worked too hard.
He tried to intimidate me when I wrote down his name. So you're writing down our names. Well, we have more on you. And he asked me questions about my address and my profession.
Why don't you say moron, sir?
And asked questions about my profession in front of the rest of the people that had been detained.
I'm a reporter.
I pointed out a few of the families who'd missed their flights, and I'd been waiting and had been waiting 7 hours. His voice barely controlled, his lip curled into a smirk. He explained slowly, condescendingly, that they need only go to the ticket counter at JetBlue and reschedule so they could fly out in an hour. Now, one mother responded with what he must have already known, that JetBlue goes to most destinations only once or twice a day, and her whole family would have to sleep in the airport. A large crowd began to gather. Everyone wanted to voice complaints. I explained to the supervisor that his guards had been making people afraid. He flipped through the green files, tossing the American passports to the front of the pile. You should have gone first, before these people. American citizens first, that's how it should be, he said. In the face of dozens of requests and questions from the people there, he then turned and left. The guards processed me then, ignoring the order of arrivals, if there ever had been one. They refused to distribute more complaint forms or call the supervisor back down at the request of the Arab families. One officer threatened, I'm talking politely to you now. If you don't sit down, I won't be talking politely to you anymore. One announced that because the American girl had gotten angry, the families would have to wait a few more hours. The supervisor is not coming back, they were told. I reassured my Homeland Security interrogator that I didn't make any connections with Hezbollah or with anyone I knew to be associated with such an organization. I am not a member of any terrorist group. In fact, my visit to Syria had been so apolitical and touristy that I felt an embarrassing affinity with the pastel-shirted families waiting by the Air France baggage carousels in the distance, whom I knew I would eventually join. As I walked out of the enclosure, some people thanked me, squeezing my arm and putting their hands on my shoulders. It was shocking that briefly standing up to someone overseeing an abuse of civil rights in JFK Airport in the United States, where we supposedly have laws and a democratic judicial system, could be perceived as heroic. I had nothing to lose, but the other people being detained had everything to lose.
I bet they did. You know, I kind of wonder, and I wasn't there, and so obviously we don't know the setup of the airport or anything, but what would have happened if she would have just said, nah, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm grabbing my crap and I'm leaving.
Oh my, I don't know.
What could they possibly do?
Tackle her?
And for what?
Well, for violating, yeah, you're going through customs.
What have you? What law have you broken?
Customs, I'm sure they've got one.
U.S. code provides that they can hold you at the border of the United States, so customs can definitely arrest you if you decide you don't want to wait for them. They will do it.
Just interested.
In the past 5 years, I've worked for human rights and refugee advocacy organizations in Serbia, Russia, and Croatia, including the International Rescue Committee and the USAID. I've traveled to many different places, some supposedly repressive, and have never seen people treated with the kind of animosity that Homeland Security showed that night. In Syria, border control officers were stern but polite. At other borders, there have been bureaucracies to contend with, excruciating for both Americans and other foreign nationals. I've met Russian officials with dead, suspicious looks in their eyes and arms tired from stamping so many pieces. But in America, the Homeland Security officials I encountered were very much alive, like vultures waiting to eat. Just thought I'd share that with you. Because that's what's going on. That's one person's account of what happened to her one evening at one airport. There were 70 people in those holding pens at that very moment. Now, you think about that for a moment. How many people are being victimized in this way across the country as we are speaking right now? How many people in all these different international airports are being detained for hours on end without access to food, water, or a bathroom? You think about it, and then think about why you still pay taxes. It's Free Talk Live.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com. Or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky, it's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach.
Let's go look.
I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Nonex Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Nun-X Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Nun-X Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Nun-X Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Long's, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Bilo, and Rite Aid.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and reduces emissions. Average improvement in fuel economy typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811. Or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
Every week, thousands of violent crimes are committed. Don't let yourself become a statistic. Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Pepperspray.com has great news for outdoor enthusiasts. Now you can protect yourself against possible animal attacks with safe, humane animal repellents. Featuring counter-assault bear deterrent and Mace brand animal repellent. Enter radio in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PEPPERspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, including the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Just go to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. That again, shrine.freetalklive.com.
In Chapter 6, Subterranean, Tad Galahad goes to hell. In hell, he finds nanobots, killbots, sexbots, supermodel clones, immortality, and a rocket ride off this pale blue dot. Go to freedom-engineering.com. That's freedom-engineering.com. And the Chapter 7 will be coming out soon.
Very cool. Let's go to your phone calls. Mark is on the line listening to KTAE in Texas. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
I want to almost flat-out call this person that you've been reading the email from a liar. I'm a 10-year career police officer, been in law enforcement 20 years. I'm a blonde-haired, fair-skinned, white male, and almost 50 years old. And the last two trips, one was overseas to Israel and one was to Florida for a vacation, I was singled out and picked out of every single security line at every airport, Waco Regional, Houston Intercontinental, and Atlanta Hartsfield, and basically strip searched, and my bags were pulled off out of the line and out of the hold and gone through piece by piece by piece at each airport. I didn't receive that kind of scrutiny at either Amman, Jordan, which we flew out of, or in Tel Aviv in Israel. My brother is a pilot for a major airline, which I won't name, and he and his fellow workers are so mad because they never see the dark-skinned foreign males or anybody else being pulled out of line. The last one he got so mad about was a 60-year-old white lady that almost had a breakdown because they pulled her out of line and did this same thing to her. So I'm seeing just the exact opposite personal, whatever you want to call it, experience this is not the case, and the people that were being pulled out of line in Atlanta all look just like me.
So were you taken to a holding facility?
No, and I didn't see anybody else taken out of line those last two trips to a holding facility. There were some taken to small cubicles, but you could actually see in the cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody taken away at any of those three airports here in the United States, either the trip to Israel or the trip to Florida last past summer. But each and every time, that's going and coming. I was pulled out of line, you know, with my current police ID and police badge, and not only me was searched individually, my luggage was gone through with a fine-tooth comb.
Do you think that you're on the terrorist watch list, or?
No, because I wouldn't have been allowed to fly overseas if I'd been on any kind of watch list.
Well, there's a watch list and there's a no-fly list. Apparently, the watch list is a million people strong. The no-fly list is significantly smaller, but the people on the no-fly list can't fly, period. The watch list, they just keep an eye on.
Well, when I confronted one of the guys, when I finally, you know, I was mad about it every time, but you smile and grin and bear it because there's not much you can do. But I actually confronted one of the guys this on this last trip to Florida last summer. I said, why in the world am I getting jerked out of line when people that, you know, since 72 when the first terrorism that we know of started, it's all been young Arab males. And I said, why are you pulling out a, you know, middle-aged white guy, blonde-haired, fair-skinned, and why have I been singled out? He's all, it's all random. I said, well, gee, it's awful funny that every time I fly somewhere, I'm randomly jerked out of line. And this seems to be a consistent pattern everywhere you go. I mean, we were in Houston Hobby, had a four-hour layover, and we sat there and watched the security booth area that we had just come through do the same thing time after time after time after time.
Strange.
And at no point did I ever see anybody carried off to this holding cell or interrogation room area that everybody talks about it.
Well, I mean, different airports have different setups. So, I mean, your experience, I'm not discounting it at all. I just think that clearly, I don't think there's any reason to disbelieve what this lady has said, because her story is in line with other stories that have been told that have been very, very similar. And I don't doubt that they're picking on everybody. It's just that she got the impression they were picking on a bunch of Arabs that particular day at that time at JFK Airport. And, you know, it's certainly possible that there are more Arabic people flying into JFK than there might be at Atlanta or, you know, some of those other places. So
yeah,
who knows what all the details are there. But either way, we have heard credible stories from people that, you know, aren't just nobody in the past about how they were harassed and treated. And you're one of them. I mean, so
Let me add this real quick before I get off, and I'm going to enjoy listening to the rest of the show. I actually saw in the Houston airport a soldier, obviously a sniper, who had specialized equipment that they were going to put his equipment through an upscale screening process, and he was trying to explain to the supervisor on duty right in front of me that they couldn't do that to the equipment. It would ruin some of his stuff. He didn't have any problem with them opening it and looking through it and going through it. Here he is, a soldier in full uniform, being flown to Iraq, private airline, and they were doing him basically the same way. They were pulling out his bags and were going to specifically go through his bags with whatever they were going to do, and he was saying, you can't do that.
It's tyranny for everybody, my friend.
Absolutely.
And everybody's included. I don't think that we should be calling for certain people to be targeted. I think what we should be calling for is for the TSA to be wiped out and to get the government the hell out of the airline security
to
business.
To do that, you have to change
totally
the foreign
agree.
Policy, though.
Great,
yeah.
great topic, guys.
Thanks for the call, sir. Certainly appreciate it. 800-259-9231. Well, I mean, that would take a lot of policy changing, Mark.
I did want to point out that on the profiling note, number one, Al-Qaeda is probably smart enough that if the TSA was profiling only Arabs or primarily Arabs, they could probably find a white person who would carry out the mission.
I can't imagine it'd be that hard.
The story of Timothy McVeigh is that there's a third bomber or whatever out there that was supposedly from the Iraqi government or God knows what. I mean, there's all that conspiracy stuff behind it. I don't know. I don't know. How would anyone know?
Right. But I mean, to say not all terrorists are Arabs. I mean, you did have Tim McVeigh. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, Kaczynski is not an Arab name, and you had the guy who supposedly did the anthrax attacks,
who
the name escapes me, but
the government bureaucrat.
Yeah, he worked for the government, and he was white, I believe. So, yeah, if you profile, you're completely defeating the purpose of security. It could be done a lot better if private companies were profiling. They're not subject to political pressure, and they're probably going to do a more objective and better job with less intrusion on most passengers.
Right, because I think that's the worst thing about the TSA and customs, the way they've changed, is that they've gotten to the point that they're just scaring people away. They don't want, you know, they're making the experience so awful that people don't want to fly. And the fact is, since 9/11, international tourism's down a great deal. Now, maybe it's because, we had some problems, but it doesn't seem to be down from elsewhere. The rest of the world isn't dealing with it, and our bureaucracy's clamped down, and I've got to say that I think that a good deal of it is just from the increase in, looking into people's crap and treating them bad.
Let's continue with your calls on Screen to the Amp Line. Hello, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello,
yeah,
Amp Line.
This is Christian Anarchist. How are you doing?
You're on the air.
I wanted to talk about security, airport security, because I've had a little bit of experience going through these clowns.
Okay, sure.
And I think the confusion rises from the fact that there's actually three separate screenings that you go through international. One of them would be your airport screening, your airport security. That's where you go through the metal detector and all that stuff.
Okay.
Then when you're entering or leaving the country, you have two other screenings. You have a customs screening, which is where you go through the customs guides. Actually, this is just coming into the country. But the other screening is the Homeland Security guys. So the airport security people would be the ones that would take you aside into the little cubicles and check for bombs and weapons and all that stuff.
Okay.
But the immigration people, or the customs people and the Homeland Security people, either one of those could pull you aside to a separate interrogation room and could detain you, and you could just disappear and wind up in Guantanamo, really, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, if they wanted to do it.
So you're telling me they actually, that Homeland Security is, I mean, we know that the TSA is part of their Homeland Security bureaucracy, but you're saying they actually have Homeland Security cops there?
Well, I believe it would be the immigration cops.
I see.
But they're part of the Homeland Security, and so they're considered part of that branch.
What a nightmare. It's just awful. It's just awful what's happening to these people. I'm glad you clarified that. And, Gene, thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. And as you said, Mark, it is resulting in fewer people coming here. And fewer people coming here means the economy is going to slow down, especially in those industries, especially for those industries that deal with those kinds of businesses, hotels and that sort of thing. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live. You take control.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 600 to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, 600, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Have you ever suffered from giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports as suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
Even terrible gas prices don't come close to the disaster of food costs from shortages already destroying millions of American families. Wheat for flour is already four times more expensive than it was about a year ago. Food costs continue to double because there's no food worldwide. The only solution is to use now and store for later great-flavored super bulk foods that cost half as much as your groceries cost last year. Get on the web at eFoodsDirect.com and find a two-month grab-and-go kit. This easy fix supply gives you 2 months worth of three great meals a day. The cost, about $5 a day. eFoodsDirect.com also has a complete bulk supply of superfood at half the cost of last year's groceries. Call 800-409-5633. The rest of the world is starving, but what happens in your piece of America is up to you. Call 800-409-5633.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, and if you like the show and want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become a Free Talk Live amplifier and get access to a few perks like the amp-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. Go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about it. The purpose is to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. That's what AMP stands for, and the idea is that we take $3 a month from you, reinvest it into the show, get on more radio stations and around the country and around the world even, as well as bringing new internet listeners to the program. So it's a great way to bring new people to the message of freedom, and you can help us out by becoming an amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. Let's continue with your calls. Alex in Tennessee, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind?
I want to make a point about, as freedom lovers, are the language we use to communicate.
Yes, and sir.
I think that we can make the government look as ridiculous as possible. And I got this example from Stefan Molyneux's podcast at freedomainradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
He used, instead of the word immigration, he used moving. And I think if we frame it like that, I mean, how ridiculous would it seem if you were forced to hire a lawyer to move to the next town over?
Yeah, that'd be pretty ridiculous, yeah.
And I think,
illegal movers.
I'm really interested in this. What we can do to use our language, use a change of wording to make.
Yeah, I like that. I like the, because I don't like the idea of using the state's language, and that is essentially kind of replacing the state's term, which is immigration, with a more realistic term that is moving. I like that idea. What do you guys think of it? I mean, you guys are just kind of
I'm still mulling it over. It seems kind of clumsy, the moving police. You know, I think that might throw people off a little bit in that, you know, moving.
Use it when somebody brings up the term immigration. You say, you mean people moving here?
Maybe control over movement.
Hmm. I mean, it's a good idea. I think I think
it has merit.
A good brainstorm. Nick, your thoughts?
I think it's a good place to start. I think you could develop it more, and I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of exactly how.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree with Mark that that particular example, I get what you're trying to do, and I think it's a good direction to try to go in. But
like
it's kind of clumsy.
Yeah. I prefer to say government school, and, you know, this is basically Ian's thing originally. But
I borrowed it from somebody else.
Government school over public
Nothing
school.
Nothing I say is original.
So thank you for the idea. Any other suggestions?
Nope, that's it.
Thanks, Alex, for the call. Let's talk to Hollis in Missouri. Hollis, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, I was just sitting down watching Spider-Man the other day, and I thought this movie would not be very great, and I would not idolize Spider-Man if he was going around and beating people up for parking tickets and throwing people out of their houses because they didn't pay property taxes.
Government man, government man.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, I mean, you think of Spider-Man as the good guy, but if you had him do the government's job, you'd say, wow, he's pretty much a slime ball.
Well, that's what we would say, but I just had this, I had this meeting today with one of the city bureaucrats because I had, as you know, if you've been listening to the program, I wrote them a letter asking a bunch of questions about the nature of government and actually managed to get a meeting scheduled with one of them today. And of course, he blathered on for quite a long time of answering the questions when he was asked and never really gave a responsive answer in many cases. But you could really kind of get into his mindset. And the mindset of these people is that, well, this is what the community wants. We're doing what the community wants us to do. They've got their representatives they've elected, and it's not stealing. It's, it's for the common good.
Is it possible that the community could steal?
Apparently not, no. I mean, when you use terms like stealing and theft with people like these government bureaucrats, they just blow it off and they say, well, we wouldn't use that term. And then they go on and they describe how it is they're going to steal your stuff, but they'll call it something else. You know, they'll call it something different. It's justified because they've got their laws, which is just words on paper. But they're so immersed and so they believe in the system so much. I mean, after all, it is their bread and butter. It's just nothing we say is persuasive to them. This is their life. It's their reality. And
yeah,
they're willing to hurt us if we don't agree with their interpretation of reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's like some guy, if you're talking to someone and you say, well, that's a nice dolphin over there, and then they go, oh, well, I prefer to call it a porpoise.
Mm.
And yeah, instead of, like, taxing and stealing.
I'd like to be able to deal with somebody, a government bureaucrat that could talk to me on that level, porpoise, dolphin level. But in fact, they seem to look at the dolphins and call them hamsters. I mean, they don't even get close.
I guess anything, so.
Anything else on your mind tonight, Hollis?
No, that's it.
Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. So,
I mean, I think that, to some extent, you know that I wrote that letter to the town where I live.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that I went through and I actually defined the term stealing. Here's something that we can, you know, here's the definition of stealing that I'm using.
Right.
Why don't you, you know, see what you think about this definition? And, you know, basically, it would be like, you know, their interpretation. If you look many, many times in the laws, it says unless lawful or if not unlawful or something like that. So basically, they make a little escape hatch that they can steal, they can murder, they can do whatever as long as it's legal.
And then it's just part of their lawful process and they don't consider it stealing. It's like they have no.
They got to take what stealing was. In creating the definitions, they took what everyone would call stealing, and then they redefined it as, well, it is stealing except when we do it.
So this, apparently, from what I understand, the entire video is going to be posted online, and boy, is it boring. So I don't know why anyone would want to watch it except to just see what these bureaucrats are like when you ask them questions. The very damning questions that you wouldn't think they would want to answer, and I don't know if... You know, I don't know if this guy gave me this time because he knew who I was. It's the city manager here in Keene, and he knew who I was because I'm on the board of the Cheshire TV, which is the cable access channel. And so I've actually been to meetings with this guy before, so I kind of had a friendly rapport with the guy. And so there wasn't vitriol or hate going back and forth. It was really a conversation where he was, I mean, relatively generous with his time. He spent over a half an hour with us in the conference room this afternoon.
Answering no questions at all.
Well, I mean, answering them with very voluminous verbiage and just kind of beating around the bush at what essentially was a threat. I mean, he essentially threatened me when I was talking about, you know, well, what would happen if you don't pay these property taxes? And he said there are going to be consequences. And I said, well, you know, just to let you know, we're going to be bringing more people in here, and there's a good chance that more people are going to believe as I do and not want to cooperate. And all he could really say was, well, okay.
Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean,
ding, ding.
He acknowledged that the people in the past...
I wouldn't want to be in the fight against him. Honestly, it's, you know... you've got so much to lose when you're talking about property taxes. You're talking about your house, your largest investment ever.
So
for most Americans.
Even though he acknowledged that it was my property, which I own in full, no mortgage here, even though he acknowledged that and said it was my property very explicitly, somehow there's some magical thing that happens when I don't pay their arbitrary property tax bills that they send me that grants them the authority to sell my house right out from under me. And there's no really explaining their viewpoint.
And that's the thing about in the confiscation of your property, they don't even have to come to your house.
No,
you
they
know?
Just sell it.
They just sell it, and then it's someone else's problem, and they bring the police because there's somebody in their house.
Right.
So they have rigged it so that they never have to take responsibility for their violence.
Yep, and people look at them, and when they do these things to people, they're... You know, the government people look like Spider-Man. They've managed to get the kind of PR with the people in the area that they believe they need this government around, that anybody that challenges the government is the bad guy, and whatever the government does to those challengers is completely acceptable, whether it's kick them out of their homes, put them in jail cells, whatever. They get cheered on when they do these things.
We had a guy call on Saturday when we were talking about a gentleman who got kicked out of his house. They burned his house down, kicked it out. Kicked out wasn't the right term, when they set the place on fire. And, you know, the guy's like, I don't understand why you consider this a big deal. You've got to pay your property taxes. And, you know, we went through it. I tried to explain to him, look, government can be wrong. I asked him about Nazis. I asked him about slavery. I asked him about the Indians. And he's like, we took care of those problems. We took care of those problems. There couldn't possibly be another thing that government is doing that is evil, bad, or wrong, because we've taken care of all the bad problems.
It was just absolutely
my question. If you were one of the people that the government was treating badly, then would you have had the right not to cooperate?
Good question. 1-800-259-9231 is the number. Hour number two is on the way. Coming up, follow up story. We told you about the Postville raid when the government bureaucrats, the ICE people, immigration, customs enforcement went in and arrested hundreds of people. On this whole immigration or moving issue. What happened to Postville, the town? What's it like now after the raid? We'll find out. Free Talk Live. Are you remodeling your kitchen or bath? Perhaps you just want to easily update the look of those old cabinets or that old set of drawers. InterKnobs.com offers a wide variety of knobs, pulls, bath accessories, and plumbing fixtures for every taste and budget. Free Talk Live listeners can save 10% on all InterKnobs.com merchandise by using code FTL at checkout. That's InterKnobs.com. InterKnobs.com. Friendly service and wholesale prices for knobs, pulls, and more at InterKnobs.com. And don't forget, use code FTL to save 10%.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
In this age,